One Man Revolution, Volume 3, Episode 8. And we are back live for yet another Friday night, live on Facebook and live podcasting. I'm the Revolutionary.
I'm the Comrade.
And I'm just a traveler.
We have another fellow traveler this week. It's getting to be a habit. I've got fellow travelers lined up for the next 2 weeks.
This is fantastic. Yes. I love that. We need more voices. I like giving these voices an audience. This is wonderful.
It's going to be fun to see what happens each and every time. So, nothing happened this week, right?
Nothing exciting whatsoever.
Not a darn thing.
I can't think of a single thing worth noting. You know, there might have been one thing.
One thing?
I heard about this guy named Milo Yiannopoulos. Yeah. He's a character.
You know, he made that name up.
Milo Yiannopoulos?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He made the name up so it would be difficult to say.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it's not a real name. Yeah, it's not his real name. Yeah. So I heard that he decided that he was going to self-destruct.
You know, I don't know if that's actually the case.
Well, he did it.
No, it happened. It happened in spectacular fashion.
Right.
That's one of the legendary public self-destructions, I think, in the last 10 years.
But the bigger we are, the harder we fall.
That's right. That's kind of where I was going with that is, when you suddenly become a person of note, people start to actually take notice of the things you've said in the past because they might actually have weight now. And when you say things that imply consent of illegal nature.
But I mean, his entire persona was built on this idea that he was a flamboyantly expressive person who was living a particular lifestyle.
An incredibly dangerous
lifestyle.
Yeah.
So when you start throwing that out there and you go on a lot of talk shows, you can't turn around and say, I never said that.
Well, okay? Especially when everything's on, you know, YouTube or published in a book.
Yeah.
I heard he basically lost his publishing deals. He lost everything from a single statement made a number of years ago.
Right.
It was 2016.
Yeah. Was it last year?
It was last year.
Oh.
Yeah,
it wasn't that long ago.
There was an article on Vox.com about it, and it was basically a 16-year-old Canadian girl thought he was dangerous and didn't like him and dug up dirt on him off the internet.
Hey, vigilante justice right there.
I mean,
people to tweet out or post out the video. And
oh, wow.
It was one where he said it the year before. He said that he was molested by a priest.
Right.
He did say that term. That's what we're arguing about. Mm-hmm. And he was underage. He was young, although he continuously says that he was of the age of consent after he said this. He said that basically that. You know, there's no problem with younger men and older men. That's not a big problem, or younger people and older people, which the very, very far right did not appreciate.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, I never meant to say it that way. I meant to say it another way. And guess what ended up happening? Someone went back and said, well, you said it at this point in time, and then you said it a year later on Joe Rogan, said the exact same thing, mm-hmm. that you learned how to give oral pleasure. And you're so good at it today because you learned how to do it when you were 13 years old on a priest.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it's comedic value back a year before that. But when you repeat that story a second time, a lie repeated becomes what? Close to the truth.
Right.
The more you repeat a lie, that was said by Goebbels, I think it was. He's misquoted as that's who it was, but the propagandist.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
so,
that's right. Yes. Yeah, very good.
So maybe it's Steve Bannon. Yeah.
Could be. I mean, I'm starting to believe that Steve Bannon is merely just a new identity for the same evil demon that's existed on this planet for time immemorial.
Yeah, the devil isn't the devil because he is evil. The devil is the devil because he is old. that's an old Spanish saying.
That's a great truism.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just you actually made me think of a thing in discussing the overlap between the very religious conservatives that have been a mainstay of the Republican Party for as long as the Republican Party has existed in its modern format, and
They're good.
And Milo. Yeah, it's, you know, it's the idea that, you know, you have these new people coming into what was a properly conservative party of old values, old practices. Mm-hmm. Don't let that change.
Right.
And now you've got this whole new quote unquote alt-right internet troll movement that mm-hmm. basically embodies none of the actual conservative values per se.
No.
They simply see it as an opportunity to espouse their values as a young white man.
Yeah. Well, but it's not just young white man. It's just from a point of view that I'm right, you're wrong, regardless of what their view is.
And they get to be as inflammatory as they like about it.
But they are very male-centric. I mean, they're all they're all misogynists. They're all about men, male power, particularly mm-hmm. white male power.
Yeah. What? Wait, like the Pillsbury Doughboy made of white flour? It's one of my favorite pictures ever.
Yes,
the Pillsbury, Pillsbury Doughboy is giving the salute and he's got a little mustache. I'm waving. And when it's attached to the audio,
I mean,
you listen back to last week, to my rant last week. If you just isolate my rant, which is at about 10 minutes before the end of the show. So if you want to go back on the podcast, go to onemanrevolution.org, go to episode 7. From this volume, and just go like 10 minutes before the end of there, and you'll hear me just go off. And the word fuck is used probably 19 times.
Many times.
Yeah.
I think it's about every six words.
It is about every six words. It's an emphatic word. It's a good word.
Is that it started with a quote
word.
And then it just kept going.
It devolved.
It did.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
That's okay. anyway, back to
Milo.
Back to Milo. He represents what I think will be an interesting dichotomy of the Republican Party as becoming no longer the conservative party, merely the obstructionist party.
Or the inflammatory party.
Or that.
Yeah, because the more extreme you can be, the extreme party. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
You know,
now we
go back to the 90s. Go back to the
X Games thing. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, how much of that was caused by the gerrymandering in 2010 where red districts were safe, so that meant the only way to get elected was to be more extreme, more right-wing, more outlandish than the guy.
Right, that was the creation of all the Tea Party movement.
Right, and then those people are in power, and people see them winning power that way, and so now there's more people doing it.
Yeah, the problem is that the Tea Partiers did not win.
Right.
That was not who ended up winning. It ended up being the, you know, the
populists.
The populists.
Yeah, because the Tea Partiers are the, I believe, the distilled nature of the old Republican Party.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that established, rather wealthier, religious, deep South kind of mentality.
Right.
Not very conducive to, I guess, more progressive social views.
No.
And
well, I mean, progressive social views like what? I don't know. How about allowing anyone to use a bathroom that wants to use a bathroom?
Yeah. Just how about we just go with 100% shared public facilities?
Yeah. I mean, everywhere else in the world, if you got to pee, you pee.
You just go pee. Yeah.
You go pee.
Why does that have to become sexualized? That's an odd thing to me.
Yeah. Well, I think it was said pretty close.
I mean, I don't go to Russia hotels and pay for these things. That's not me, but
it is definitely coming out about pee. Well, maybe he just doesn't want anybody to pee anywhere unless he has control over it. You know, isn't that part of the water sports network here? You know, I mean, if you really want to get down to it.
More and more we're seeing very authoritarian tones to these actions.
Absolutely. The concentration of anything. I mean, today's executive order is very clear in creating more of an authoritarian control over something. I know you haven't had much of the opportunity to review it, so.
Well, I did a quick overview of the new executive order. It's all about regulation. You have a man who campaigned on the idea of draining the swamp, of simplifying government, of giving our economy, our states, our local precincts the ability to flourish under a lack of fellow travelers don't understand microphone etiquette. That's okay, but so
put it over on that one.
Fine.
That way it'll vibrate the Facebook camera.
But so basically this is somebody who campaigned under these ideals of a 10th Amendment values, of lack of federal oversight, And then today we have the presidential executive order on enforcing the regulatory reform agenda, which, if I could summarize in a sentence, seems a lot like do as we say or else.
Well, it's concentrated into there will be people in every regulatory agency. So we're talking energy, environment, mm-hmm.
the FCC,
yeah. Everybody,
yeah.
Who will be, what did they call them? The regulatory reform officer, or RRO. Oh. Doesn't that sound great?
They were smart and not used S's. So.
Oh, like the like his secret security that
yeah.
he has.
Yeah, his secret yeah. security officers.
Yeah. So the RROs should oversee the implementation of regulatory reform initiatives and policies and ensure that agencies effectively carry out regulatory reform consistent with applicable law. Which just blows my mind.
Can I just read one part of this sure. executive order that highlights the sheer insanity of this entire process in this current administration?
Of course you can.
A regulatory reform officer shall oversee the implementation of regulatory reform initiatives, including the executive order titled Reducing Regulation and Controlling Regulatory Costs.
Right. Right. So not only are they in charge of reducing regulation, but reducing their own costs of regulating.
So we put a hiring freeze on all of our federal agencies and then create a new office so we can hire regulatory officers to make sure there's less regulation?
Section yep. 3.
What?
Hold on. That's not section 3. It's in here. It's actually like in here.
Our options are either crying or laughing at this. What right. is this?
The other thing about regulatory costs is they're not talking necessarily about the costs of enforcement. They're talking about the business costs associated with that regulation.
Right. It running the government like a business.
Right. So if you can't dump your coal ash in a river and get rid of it, and you got to keep it, well, that's a cost.
Oh, that's a cost. That's a cost. Yeah. And so section 3D... makes me laugh that it's 3D. Says, at a minimum, each regulatory reform task force shall attempt to identify regulations that, and this is beautiful.
Oh, this is good.
Eliminate jobs or inhibit job creation. That's right there. You just said that. So they're in charge of making sure that jobs don't get created unless there's a good reason for it. So, in other words, there's a hiring freeze.
Right.
And this is enforcing...
You only get a job if we approve your new job.
Correct. And who gets to do that? The RRO.
If all of these things don't get bundled under brand new Homeland Security...
Please.
They're going to be the new federal enforcement agency.
Sure.
Answerable only to the President of the United States.
That goes back to the protection of police officers executive order from 2 weeks ago.
And I put this out there. If you are a supporter of our president and his actions to drain the swamp and make our system more efficient,
please come on the show and share the mic with the fellow traveler.
By all means, come on the show.
Got one more mic.
I also want you to stop and think. What if our previous administration had these level of controls? How happy would you have been? Are you really going to like it when the next Democratic president comes in and takes these levels of authority and enforces a totally different value set? Is that a good idea to you? Because I don't care how much I like something. A president should not be a dictator.
No, not at all.
And that's what we're looking at here.
Well, I mean, this is not... 100% dictatorial, though. This is not 100% authoritarian. What it's doing is it's creating fiefdoms.
Yeah.
Right. Well, okay. Yeah, exactly.
Which then you have your serfs out there, you know, who are then, or your knights out there who are reporting to you, but it's not you. You're not doing it.
Right.
So this is giving an insulation around saying, I'm not the one creating these changes in regulation. I'm the one who is, someone reported to me these things need to be changed, and now I, by my very grace, am now making that change. So the king is never wrong.
You're right. The king's word is law.
Correct.
And dictates change in policy.
Yeah.
Which is interesting when the king's verbiage is only communicated by a select few.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you step into a press room and say... as it's Sean Spicer, right?
Sean Spicer. Sean Spicer. That's right.
Yeah. I always get his name wrong. It's like Old Spicer. I'm glad we don't have to like call him, you know, press secretary Spicer or something. That'd be obnoxious. I would hate to have to do that.
We should just call him Spicy.
Spicy? Ooh.
Yeah.
I like Spicy.
Spicy.
Or Salty?
Salty. He is salty. So today he booted out, or actually just didn't allow, some traditional media outlets to come in.
I have a list here, actually. It's fun. Oh. You might have heard of a couple of these.
The failing New York Times?
CNN.
Okay.
The BBC.
Oh.
The failing New York Times.
Yes, the failing New York Times.
The Los Angeles Times. The New York Daily News. BuzzFeed. The Hill. And the Daily Mail.
Wouldn't it be easier just
this
to
is
name,
not a complete list.
Wouldn't you just easier to name who was in the room? Wasn't that a better list?
There was a significant... Breitbart was on that list.
Yeah, that's one.
That's what I was going to say. They probably don't want you to know the list of people who were in the room.
Well, it was...
So, the Washington Times, Breitbart, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox and Friends. I'm sorry, Fox News. Reuters, Bloomberg, and the illustrious One American News Network.
Yes, the One American News Network, which was asking... What? It was asking things from a monitor behind Spicy.
Oh, really? They weren't? Because I thought they would just be taking tweets of the questions asked at this point.
Well, I mean, that's almost the level they're getting to. Yeah. That is the level they're getting to. It's much more efficient to do that. I mean, we could do it Facebook Live into there two-way.
What I like about all of these incidents with this current administration is quite literally all of them are usually followed by a statement along the lines of, this is not unheard of, but this is not the way it's ever been done.
Right.
It's like you give somebody who has no idea how to be a lawyer a book on being a lawyer, and then they just go crazy. My cousin Vinny on you. Like, where did that come from? What are you doing? And they seem to think it's okay because they're draining the swamp and they're not your traditional politician. That's the excuse for everything.
Not traditional politicians at all. So they kick all of them out, and the questioning that was done was rather mild during the press conference.
I find that shocking.
So what do you think would happen if all of the mainstream media just didn't show up?
Oh, so you're saying they took their ball and went home and said that we're not going to cover your administration.
They sent one guy so they could record what was reported and share it, and it's not news.
So it ends up being that scene in Real Genius where the guy walks into the classroom to lecture and listen to lecture, and there's a reel-to-reel tape recorder playing to a bunch of tape recorders.
Right.
Basically. So it's the message is being sent out and it's being recorded, but no one's there.
Yeah,
it's just completely automated.
That's no longer news. It's no longer presented as this is important. It's no longer important.
That's a fair point when you consider that the level of question and answer that we get is, no, you're wrong. Sit up and shut down and sit up.
Right.
Sit down and shut up. You're fake news. Yeah. Not an answer of a question. Like, there's no accountability to the press anymore.
Yeah. I'm not going to call on you because you didn't raise your hand.
You didn't raise. Right. Yeah. Could you sit down?
I don't
sit
like
down.
That lapel
I
pin.
Said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said sit down.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but that's where we're at.
This is the world we live in at this point.
It is the world we live in. I mean, it is it has been said that a strong and free press is the cornerstone of democracy. And the easiest way to eliminate democracy is to control the press.
Right.
And right now, that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, when Steve Bannon, I don't know what to call him, the
President Bannon.
The Oberfuhrer.
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 Yes, Oberfuhrer Bannon.
Yeah. Oberfuhrer Bannon.
We have a title.
Yeah, he has a title.
That's dangerous because we have to remember that.
We have to remember that he is the Oberfuhrer. So when the Oberfuhrer goes to something like CPAC and sits down and just talks.
And what a presentation it was.
I mean,
it was remarkably enlightening.
It was frightening. Remarkably.
Isn't that what I said?
Frightening. Well, you said enlightening.
Right.
Which is frightening. Yeah. you know, do you,
let's see. Let me find that one here. Hang on, I got to pull it up.
Real quick. I could plug right into your speakers too, and you can play it if you want to.
Oh, you want to play that?
You can if you want to.
Let me go to YouTube. You guys keep talking for a second. I'll pull it up on YouTube real quick.
I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, I hate to call him the Uber for Fuhrer. I mean, I hate to say that he is the man pulling the strings, but he's been put into a situation where he has the ability to pull the strings.
And he apparently has the ear of the president every day whenever he wants it.
Whenever he needs it. Absolutely.
Okay, so it's 7 minutes, 37 seconds long.
Is that the part where it's him
I'm
going to
find
talking?
A transcript.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I apologize for the clickety-clack.
No, I didn't actually see the YouTube.
Oh, you didn't see the video of him talking? I mean, 7 minutes is not that bad, and we can always pause and talk over it.
You're right, we could. Do you want to do that?
And actually, it makes it legal if we pause and talk over it.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, that was my ears.
Oh, that was unpleasant.
That was my ears. I forgot to do this first. Hey.
So, I have either his 7 minute statement or the interview. Which do we prefer?
Either way, whichever we want to go.
Let's.
I already have it turned all the way down. So.
Okay. Well, let's do.
Where he? Oh, you have.
Oh, sorry. Let me.
You
close
have the
that
Facebook feed
got
running
it.
In the background.
Sorry, my bad. I'm keeping track of comments.
Right.
Okay, so that's off.
Okay.
And we're good. All right. So I have the 7 minute. I haven't listened to any of these, so I don't know what they are. So.
Let's do the speech, and we'll stop.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take a look at that one here.
Try the speech.
A new political order is forming.
Right.
Sourced by Howard Dare on YouTube.
If you look at, you know, the opposition party and how they portrayed the campaign.
So to clarify, we're 3 seconds in.
3 seconds in, we have to stop and clarify. Oh,
the opposition party is what is now, that is what is the new nomenclature for the media.
The media is the opposition party. Right.
Okay.
Right.
How they portrayed the transition and now they're portraying the administration, it's always wrong. I mean, on the very first day that Kellyanne and I started, we reached out to Reince, Sean Spicer, Katie. It's the same team that, you know, every day was grinding away on the campaign, the same team that did the transition. And if you remember, you know, the campaign was the most chaotic, you know, by the media's description, most chaotic, most disorganized, most unprofessional, had no earthly idea what they were doing. And then you saw them all crying and weeping that night on the 8th.
All right.
Yeah, so.
So the weeping and crying things. Okay, the idea that the opposition party was weeping and crying, and I touched on that last week.
It's all these petty snowflakes, remember?
Yeah, I know. But the idea is that the opposition party, because they won, was weeping and crying because they won.
Right.
Not because of what was lost, but because they won. The reason why people were weeping and crying was because they saw, a lot of people saw what they were losing.
Right. Yeah.
They were losing... They were gaining this person that obviously was stating about, you know, gaining populist vote, who already had a very authoritarian, I don't really care what anybody else wants, I'm getting this for myself, you know. So that's why people were weeping and crying. But from their perspective, it's always been
us versus them.
It's us versus them. You hate us,
right?
We hate you.
Yeah,
it's not just one way.
There's no middle ground. There's no negotiation. There's no common understanding.
We're in the past. You know, in the past many administrations, it's always been a one-sided hate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's been a one-sided hate. One party hates the other party, but the other party's working with them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now they flipped the script. They've said, no. We hate them because they hate us.
Yeah. And now it's a mutual hatred.
Now it's mutual hatred, which completely changes the entire way that politics is being run now.
Well, what it does is it gives them justification to do literally anything they want in legislation. Like, they can write anything, and the moment I'm gonna take this one a step back here. So back when President Obama was in office and he was taking acts as an executive orders and whatever, these same people that we're listening to would cry that any opposition to the president would be decried racism.
Right.
So what you've done is you've given the opposing viewpoint a complete invalidation of any opposition that they have to you because you feel that they will label you. And now you're doing the same thing to us.
Right.
Just because we don't agree with your policy, now we're weeping and crying and we're snowflakes and we're losers and we hate you.
Right.
No, we're just scared.
Right. And we're articulate in our fear. We have control. I said that early on when we first started back this podcast back up. You know, the people you don't want to piss off are the creatives. the intellectuals, and the people who truly love freedom.
Right. You know, the ones who will exercise it.
The ones who exercise it.
Exactly.
And so you know, the artists and all those, because then they're going to do things like the subreddit of Tiny Trump, and I don't have to drink for that one.
It's no, you a title. Don't. That's a title.
That's the title. You know, all of these different memes that are going out there, the amount of artwork that's being done, the satire cartoonists are amazing.
Oh, it's
the
wonderful.
Satirical cartoons are amazing.
Just two words, if I may.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yeah. Alec Baldwin.
The man has a job for the next 3.5-4 years. Well,
the next year or so.
All right. Sure. So we'll get back to,
So let's get back to the
Steve Bannon.
Uber Fuhrer Bannon. Yeah.
When... And the reason it worked is President Trump. I mean, Trump had those ideas, had that energy, had that vision that could galvanize a team around him of disparate. Look, we're a coalition. You know, a lot of people think, you know, have strong beliefs about different things, but we understand that you can come together to win. And we understood that from August 15th. And we never had a doubt. And Donald Trump never had a doubt that he was going to win. And I think that is the power of this movement.
I mean, that is a fair statement.
I mean, he never had a doubt. I don't think that's true.
I think he didn't think he was going to win until he did.
Right.
Well, I mean, my personal favorite is the look on his face when it was announced that he had won.
Right.
And it wasn't, all right, it was, what have I done?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Uh-huh. What did I win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I win? Yeah. What does this mean?
What's interesting in this conversation going back, it's if you listen, it's not about...
America.
It's not about policies. It's not about doing things to help the country. It's about winning.
The campaign.
It's
about a campaign. That's all it's about.
We won and shut up.
Yeah. It's all about a campaign. Yeah. It's not about anything else but a campaign.
Well, that's been the entire message since the campaign ended.
Right.
Back in November, they haven't stopped going, rah, 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 look at us, we won.
Right.
There's been no... It's been 32 days. ISIS still exists.
ISIS does still exist.
I want to know what the secret plan is. Like, and where's the progress?
And over this very last weekend, I mean, we have to take a moment of silence for Sweden. All of the people from Bowling Green that passed in that horrible attack.
Yeah, all the survivors of Bowling
Green.
I will say there was a tweet, and I don't know if it's valid or not, since we're talking about Sweden.
Well, is it from at POTUS or at real Donald Trump?
No. This was
neither of those are valid ever.
I would know that. That basically Sweden has one town in Sweden has given people paid nooner time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it to help increase their productivity.
Right.
Good. Yeah. Good.
But here's the funny part. Okay, what is going on in Sweden due to immigration has little to do with the immigrants that our president is attacking.
Yeah, exactly.
The Roma, okay, speaking as a proud gypsy, all right, have been a problem for decades because it was a safe haven during the Second World War for the Roma, the gypsies of Europe, to go to Sweden. And there are ghettos of Roma, the gypsies. It does exist. And the documentary that our president saw a little smidgen of on Fox.
Or maybe just somebody told him
someone
about it.
No, I'm sure he watched it. I'm a firm believer that he is sitting up every night and watching a few hours of Fox News
every night. The O'Reilly Factor rerun.
Yep.
And he catches Fox and Friends in the morning.
Yep.
That's how he ends his day and starts his day.
Starts and ends his day. I know he's doing that. It's fine. It's his habit. It's a lot of people of his age, that's what they do. And a lot of them do watch that, and you ask them questions and they go, well, Bill O'Reilly says, like, oh my God, really? I can't really believe this. But the idea is that the part he saw was part of a documentary that was an inflammatory documentary that was created by someone who is a white supremacist, someone who took police officers' words out of context. They edited the information, you know, down to what it was, and they were talking about just overall violence. But the questions that were read, and as a documentarian, I can tell you right now, so it's like it's really funny from so many angles. I have this one. They were talking about just violence in general, and the violence in general, yes, does occur in these ghettos. Is it Islamic people? Not necessarily, but it is just economic. It's economic. It's an economic issue. And here we have these individuals committing crimes, and the police doing, you know, there are violent crimes. Yes, there are new weapons coming in because people are bringing them in. And absolutely, these things are happening. All right, and we are recording again. All right, sorry about that. We had a minor technical issue where the recording stopped.
So we were discussing crime in Sweden.
Right, and so the documentary, so the parts were hacked up. Yes. They were hacked up and cut up. And the parts that were put in the documentary, the police officers are saying right now, hey, that was completely out of context. Yes, there's violence. Yes, there are guns. Yes, there are those things. But it's not from the angle that is being, you know, that's being utilized. It's not just from these new terrorist groups from Syria.
And for I just want to put a context to the violence discussed in Sweden.
Right.
Our president came to do a 2020 campaign rally over the weekend here in Melbourne, Florida.
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
And it just so happens that the county where his rally was being held holds a 50% higher murder rate than the entire country of Sweden. And by the way, all of Sweden is given guns because they have a standing draft.
That's right.
So
that is absolutely correct.
So as bad as you can make anything sound in the right context, it doesn't even come close to the murder rate in Melbourne, Florida. I apologize.
Hey, what was that? Someone sent you a message.
That was me, probably. Yeah, so... Oh,
it's because you're hooked up.
Yeah, you're hooked up to the audio.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Stop texting me if you're listening to that, Jordan. Okay. No worries, Jordan. It's all good.
Hey, other fellow travelers, stop texting the
comrade. I didn't use the last name. It's all good. Yeah. All right, anyway. So you can make anything sound as bad as you'd like, but you got to provide context for your statement. There was no context for anything regarding the alleged tragedies in Sweden and troubles there.
But he was quoting. I mean, honestly, here's a person that was just watching a television show, like a lot of us do. He got inflamed about it, saying that it fit his worldview,
yeah. Right?
And because this particular thing was on a particular station that agrees with his worldview, that he agreed with it, and he, because of his position, has the ability to do something about it.
Yeah,
think about it.
Yeah, when your crazy uncle texts you or emails you about it, it has no impact.
He is that crazy uncle that sends you those conspiracy theory emails.
And religious tracts every year.
Unfortunately, I don't have the uncle that does that. That's my father.
Yeah, that happens. It happens. Okay.
But it has a real effect.
It does. Not another email and a delete. Right. It's now there's policy being enforced.
Right.
From these fear-mongering opinions that don't have any basis in fact.
Yeah, and he absolutely believes this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is fact in his mind. Because it's coming from...
Fox and Friends.
But it's coming from Fox News. It's coming from it's coming from what he considers a news source.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I don't necessarily consider that a news source.
I would argue that Fox News is... generally one of the large journalistic empires that could be considered to be a source of news now.
But they continuously...
They have a bias.
They definitely have a bias.
But they print things that can be verified, and that makes them news.
True.
That's as far as I'll go.
Yeah, as far as you can go. Do we
want to get back to Uberführer Bannon?
Yeah, hey, I'm always good with Uberführer Bannon.
Let's keep it going here.
He is on... Yeah.
President Trump, when he was running... He made a, and this is the other thing that the mainstream media or opposition party never caught, is that if you want to see the Trump agenda, it's very simple.
Shotgun.
It was all in the speeches. He went around to these rallies, but those speeches had tremendous amount of content in them, right? I happen to believe in a...
Okay. Tremendous amount of content. I've done some analysis of some of his speeches.
Yeah.
There's not a tremendous amount of content.
There's no content.
No. It's of a sixth or seventh grade level. The longest words are 1.3 syllables.
Vice News released a video earlier this week that detailed all the ways in which our president is better than everyone else.
Oh yeah, that's on.
I believe it was 24 different topics.
Correct.
But my favorite thing is this highlighted very well that every statement he makes is a qualitative statement with zero backing or basis in anything. There's no context for the support of his argument.
Nope.
He's just, I'm just better. I'm the best. I am amazing. I'm tremendous. I'm wonderful. But and some of it is there's direct contradiction. His own actions are direct contradiction to those statements.
Yeah. Well, when you have $1 billion behind your name, or maybe more. I mean, I was saying, he did have a, according to...
I want the tax returns.
According to what I saw from something that was released, he was like $900 million, negative $900 million last year.
Down.
Yeah, down.
So, well, I mean, elections are expensive to buy.
It's not what happened. it was a lot bought and paid for by the Russian people. Right. Yes, wave some flags. But this was the speech that was being given by the Oberfuhrer is being done at the CPAC, the Conservative Political
Action Committee. Yeah.
Which, why is our seated president, who just got his damn job, going in and speaking to this group?
Well, fun fact, 2 years ago, they didn't invite him.
They booed him.
They told him to leave.
Yeah.
And then last year, he decided to just not go.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, I guess they have to bow to their new monarch. I mean, sorry, president.
He didn't get the title. You can't just call him monarch.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It sits poorly with me every time.
I know it does. All of us, that's what we force ourselves to do it.
But yeah, so now we have Oberfuhrer Bannon coming in and supporting all of these things and making similarly unjustifiable statements about our president.
No, he had tremendous speeches. He talked to a bunch of people. He's still doing it.
Right.
In Melbourne this weekend, he went in and just said, I'm the president and these are the... You know, I'm going to do great things, and here we are still 32 days in. And
Hillary's still trying to get me.
Right, yep, and there was...
From the woods now.
And people were chanting, lock her up, lock her up, at CPAC today.
Yeah.
I mean...
It never ends.
While waving Russian flags.
Right. Well, I mean, half of our current president's campaign was built on the vitriol that a lot of people have towards the Clinton family.
Sure.
So it's not that he ran on substance, it's more that he ran on the, well, I'm not her.
But it goes back to that statement I made earlier.
Right.
Is that we hate them, you hate them, that means that you and I have a common enemy, and therefore you should vote for me. And that's how they got...
The enemy of my enemy.
The enemy of my enemy.
Yep.
And so, you know, like I said last week, it's the emails. It's not the emails, stupid. It's transgenders. No, it's not transgenders. You know, having two water fountains wasn't the problem either. Okay? You know, it's the same thing with the bathrooms. It's like having two bathrooms is plenty. You know, if I want to identify as a woman, by the way, more Republican governmental officials have been caught in bathrooms doing inappropriate things than transgenders have.
My wide stance is none of your business.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's wrong. Right, but so wrong. You know, so, I mean, so they're still sitting there. They're sitting, still campaigning. I mean, it's not even off year for like off year elections. This is 6-7 weeks.
To be clear, we're six going weeks. To have campaigns until 2020.
Well, I think it's all he knows how to do.
Yeah,
it's what he likes. He likes the adoration, and he gets there.
Yeah,
it's the validation that comes from cheering crowds.
Right,
but I don't think he's a salesman. He doesn't know how to do anything else but sell.
Yeah, once you make the sale, you're done. Yeah.
But that's a con man.
Yeah.
That's not a salesperson. That's a con man. A con man, it's all about the con. And when the person buys into the con, it's all about convincing this person that the con was a great idea so they'll convince their buddy to invest in the same con.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because this person now knows it was a con, but they don't want to back out.
What's in it for me?
It almost completely... Also the person, the regretter. Because
buyer's
remorse. Crap, I did get caught by that. But you know what? I'm not going to tell anybody else that I got caught.
Right.
I'm going to let you get caught up in it.
No, I'm smart enough to let you to prove that I know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Never mind the fact that I didn't.
That's right.
That's exactly why I called him the grifter in chief.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, that's a good one
too. Yeah,
I like adding to this list.
The commando. Yeah, the commander in chief and tweet.
Commander tweet. Yeah. There was a Cheeto one.
Commander in Cheeto.
Commander Cheeto.
Yeah. All
right, we'll get back to Oberfuhrer Bannon here.
I think many others do. He's probably the greatest public speaker in those larger.
Could you please stop that? All right.
Yeah.
So what was
we
that?
Just address that.
Another 4 seconds, and he says that he was the best?
Greatest.
The greatest?
The greatest.
How is that even possible that he is the greatest orator? I mean,
I'm not
well,
well, gonna
great.
Well, if I could
great,
create
G-R-A-T-E or G-R-E-A-T.
If I could provide context, it may just be my opinion, but I felt Martin Luther King Jr. made an amazing speech.
Oh, that, at least one. Yeah, at
there's
least one.
There's one.
Let's see, JFK of the same era, JFK Robert Kennedy of the same era, Dwight.
The Gettysburg Address was a pretty good one too.
FDR was pretty good.
Those were the early years. This is now.
This is now.
Former President Obama.
Yeah,
he had a couple of good ones.
I wonder what their average speaking level was relative to our current president.
All right, I will get back to you on that one.
I would like to know these notes.
Yeah, I'll run some speeches on
okay,
that one.
So the greatest orator.
My name's Brian. This was galvanized. So remember, we didn't have any money. Hillary Clinton, these guys had over $2 billion.
Okay.
we can't get more than 15 seconds through this. So, this is a 7-minute video or a minute and a half in.
So that's one of the fallacies that they love to say. We never had any money. We never had any money. We never had any money. You know what they ran? They ran a campaign of what was it called? A media campaign, which the media campaign was through Twitter and social media. And they allowed the news, the news they hate now, the enemy,
to the opposition party.
They allowed the opposition party to give them free advertising because they just kept doing elaborate, ridiculous things, forcing the news to report on it, which gave them, in essence, it was something like $4 billion worth of free press by when it was all said and done. Yeah. I mean, it was a ridiculous number that they ended up making happen. And my other favorite is how much did he spend? You know, I'm spending this out of my own pocket. I'm funding my own campaign. But loaned money to the campaign, to which he paid it off before the election.
So I Googled this real quick while you were talking.
Yeah, Google this for me. There you go.
The Washington Post, as of...
The failing Washington Post.
No, it's the failing New York Times.
Oh, it's failing New York.
The drowning New York
the
Washington
drowning
Post.
The drowning Washington Post.
As of December the 31st, 2016, the money raised by candidates, former candidate Clinton raised $1.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Current President Trump raised... $957.6 million. So she got about 50% more in donations.
Right.
But he also provided a significant amount of his own personal funding.
But that's not what it was. He paid himself back.
Right.
Of course.
None of that money came out of his pocket. I love all these people like, well, he paid for his own campaign. And that's usually how they sound. Yeah. But it's like, he paid for his own campaign. I'm like, well, he paid for it, but he reimbursed himself. I mean, this is how business works. And you guys wanted a businessman. That's how business works. Business is you have a return on your investment. The return on his investment is that now he can make the rules that will now benefit his business.
Well, he also immediately announced his candidacy for 2020, which allows
him
to maintain and continue to collect money. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So the money never goes away. He doesn't have to put it away somewhere. He can just keep collecting more.
Right. All right, Uber Fear.
Yeah.
We had a couple of $100 million. It was those rallies and those speeches. All he's doing right now is he's laid out an agenda with those speeches, with the promises he made. And our job every day is just to execute on that, is to simply get a path to how those get executed. And he's maniacally focused on that. And I think that's one of the powers of the transition.
Wait.
Maniacally.
Did he just say the word maniacally focused? That's a very poor choice of words.
He's basically a modern poet.
Yeah, Steve Bannon, modern poet. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I was going to say the president spends a lot of time not being focused on things, if I understand what his schedule is like.
Well, he's been on six golf outings in a month. Yeah.
So it was 6 and 32 days. So that's one every 4.5 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's efficiency.
He did play with the guy from China. China? It wasn't China. It was Japan. I always get those.
Oh, that's
confused.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Abe.
Yeah. Abe, yeah.
Where many, many people try to come in and try to convince President Trump, hey, you won on this, but this is what you want to do. And he's like, no, I promise the American people this, and this is the plan we're going to execute on. And Ryan said,
So he also promised not to defund Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. He was going to strengthen them, not take money away from them.
Well, they're going to fix Obamacare.
You mean the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act.
Yes. No, see, there's still a survey out there that has people not knowing that yeah. they're
the difference
that they're the that same, they're the that same, they're the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they need to repeal that Obamacare. And it's like, well, you do realize that the Affordable Care Act that you're receiving your medical funds through. No, no, no. I don't get that Obamacare. I got the Affordable Care. It's like, okay, right. well, you're not.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Read a book.
And by the way, that's what you've seen. The executive orders, what the Supreme Court, the way he's gone through the Supreme Court. And by the way, the other
what?
100.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. What?
What? He hasn't gone through the Supreme
gone
Court.
Gone through the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
No, nothing's gone through
the Supreme Court.
And nothing has gone through the rule of law yet. Yeah. These are
The one thing that did was
went
was
against him.
Put down.
Right,
yeah.
right. The one thing that he did do, it went against him. So it went through the Supreme Court. And
The judicial.
It went through the judicial system.
The Ninth Circuit.
Ninth Circuit. which is the federal courts.
Yep.
Yeah. Which he doesn't believe are legitimate courts.
Right. So-called judges.
Yeah, so-called judges.
And two judges that we're eventually going to pick. It's just a methodical, and that's what the mainstream media won't report. Just like they were dead wrong on the chaos of the campaign.
All right, stop it right there. My favorite line from the folks in the camp of the president is, you're not getting the whole story. You're not getting the whole story because the media is not giving you the story. Only we know what's really going on.
But Alex Jones doesn't give us the whole story.
did you see the one where Alex Jones becomes a reptilian?
No.
Oh, it's one of the best. It's one of the best videos. He always talks about the reptilians. How the reptilians are in office.
I'm going to find some audio of Alex Jones
for the
listeners of ours.
I don't know if we should put Alex Jones
is.
On here. Let's not put Alex Jones on here.
You don't want to do that?
No.
Oh.
No.
Unless he gets appointed to the administration.
That's right. If he gets put in the administration, we'll talk about it.
He starts glowing bright red.
He
it's
does.
Really
he nearly explodes.
It's
he starts screaming and yelling and making like noises. It's the most amazing thing ever.
He truly does become reptilian.
He does. He complains about these reptilians being in power, but he's one of them. So we have this problem where they're constantly saying, you're not getting the whole story. They're taking your rights away. We talked about this last time.
Right.
You know, the pie. Oh, there's not enough to go around. It's the idea that there is, it's the fallacy of scarcity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's
two ways you can think about anything. There's the idea of scarcity or the idea of abundance. The people who think about abundance think about the future generations and how things are going to continue to improve. The people who think scarcity are, what can I get now because it's not going to be around tomorrow.
Right.
That's the scarcity side, and the scarcity
what's in it
ones,
for me?
And it's the what's in it for me. It's the secondary group that supported the president.
Yep.
You know that if we don't get what we can get now, then it won't be available to us later.
Which is the entire fuel for the alternative Republican Party now.
Correct.
But it is the idea of scarcity. It's the fact that if somebody else has a liberty and a freedom, I lose that.
Yep.
I don't want to get into that.
I know.
Uber Fuhrer, continue.
And just like they were dead wrong in the chaos of the transition, they are absolutely dead wrong about what's going on today, because we have a team that's just grinding it through on what President Donald Trump promised the American people. And the mainstream media better understand something. All of those promises are going to be implemented. I think if you look at the lines of work, I kind of break it out into three verticals or three buckets. The first is kind of national security and sovereignty, and that's your intelligence, the Defense Right. Department, Homeland Security.
Okay, so let's talk about intelligence.
Oh, yeah, let's.
So this week, a CIA director resigned.
Did he?
He did. And the reason why he resigned? I never thought I'd leave the CIA, but because of Trump, reading headline,
mm-hmm.
I quit.
Can you summarize his justification for quitting in two sentences or less?
So I have his video. So this was Edward Price. He worked for the CIA from 2006 until this month. He was a spokesperson for the National Security Council.
Oh, very good.
Who's on the National Security Council?
Uberführer Bannon.
There you go. So he formally resigned last week, working proudly for Republican and Democratic presidents. He reluctantly concluded that he cannot, in good faith, serve an administration as an intelligence professional. Serve this administration.
Basically, he can't do his job correctly for this administration.
Right. Yeah, he says it's not a decision he made lightly. He sought out the CIA from college. He basically said that I want to serve my country, but abstract international relations are disappointing him right now.
That's
so incredible. He just wants out. Yep. So
how long was he working for the
since 2006? So 10 years.
Okay, wow.
Decade. Yeah.
He was intended to be a lifer.
Yeah. People that go into the CIA or the intelligence community, they know that they have to pretty much stay in for life because you know way too much.
Once you're out, you're done because you're out of the loop of intelligence. You can't really get caught up.
Yeah, he says Trump's actions in office have been even more disturbing. His visit to the CIA on his first day of office, the overtures, blah, blah, blah. So he just didn't like how these steadfast professionals were being treated from day one. You know, how they're obviously not valuable any longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but according to the administration, the opposition party has been manufacturing the strife between the intelligence agency and our president.
The drowning Washington Post. And
I hate it when facts get in the way of my worldview.
I'll include WAPO's article in the notes.
Excellent. Yeah. I want that video out there for sure.
Yeah. Did you hear that they came up with a new tagline? They haven't had a tagline before.
Oh, really?
Is that Washington Post?
What is it now?
Democracy dies in darkness.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently something a judge said
about the...
back when the police were wiretapping without warrant.
Yeah.
And
during Watergate?
No, back in the 30s.
Back in the 30s.
Oh. Yeah,
way back when.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oberfuhrer?
Shall we?
The second line of work is what I refer to as economic nationalism, and that is...
Please stop.
Can that
Please
phrase...
Please stop. Never use the word nationalism in a sentence, Mr. Bannon.
Economic nationalism.
It doesn't matter. Economic nationalism, it doesn't matter what it is. And that's saying that we are going to only care about our nation state economically.
Right. Our interest over all others,
which is exactly what the administration has said over and over. Mm-hmm. It's America first, everyone else last.
Right.
Yeah.
We made that clear.
Made it very clear.
Wilbur Ross at Commerce, Steve Mnuchin at Treasury, Lighthizer at Trade, Peter Navarro.
Smattering of applause. Is that what I hear for those?
Yeah, for that third guy, it was just like one or two people.
Yeah, I know that guy. Wait, who are these other names? Yeah. I know one person that they're talking about right now.
Honestly, y'all should look up this video because I'm watching Oberfuhrer Bannon's face as he makes these addresses, and he's really getting a lot of glee out of being in the public face.
I'm
wondering if he'll be able to slink back into his hiding hole after this.
He looks half dead.
Well, he is a zombie.
He's not a zombie. He has rosacea. Now it's one of those things that people have when they drink a lot and are evil. But I'm not saying that he does. I have no idea. Just.
He just ran Breitbart News for 10 years.
Yeah, that'll...
No, sorry, I'm sorry.
Soul.
4 years.
That'll kill anyone's soul.
Stephen Miller, these people that are rethinking how we're going to reconstruct...
Hold on, Stephen Miller. Didn't Stephen Miller resign?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so he just said Stephen Miller. He just said
but
Stephen Miller.
This was done...
Today.
Today. No, yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah.
But Miller...
does not resign.
That was today. We covered that last week.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oops.
Yeah. So he just mentioned Miller, and Miller hasn't been there for a week.
I mean...
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying they have a reputation now for getting information from the wrong sources. So I'm wondering
he's giving his own information out.
I know. I'm just
he's
wondering
the head of the intelligence community right now.
He probably just read a Breitbart article from a couple weeks ago.
That's probably true. Okay. All right. I'll give him that one.
Brock, our trade arrangements around the world. The third, broadly, line of work is what is deconstruction of the administrative state. And if you... So I think the three most important things. I think one of the most pivotal moments in modern American history was his immediate withdrawal from TPP. That got us out of a trade deal and let our sovereignty come back to ourselves. The people, the mainstream media don't get this, but we're already working in consultation with the Hill. People are starting to think through a whole raft of amazing and innovative bilateral trading relationships with people that will reposition America in the world as a fair trading nation and start to bring jobs, high value added manufacturing jobs back to the United States of America.
Okay. So
can I turn this video off? Are we done with it?
We're done with it.
Okay.
So high value added manufacturing jobs. What are we manufacturing and what does that mean?
Well, I think regardless of what we're manufacturing or how, every expert in the field has stated that if we do bring manufacturing back to the United States, it's robots that are doing it, not human beings.
That's what I mean. It's like, what are we manufacturing that's going to give these high-tech jobs? Yes, we're going to have people that build robots to do it. That's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. He wants to remove all of the, our president wants to remove all of the regulations so that you know immediately whether or not you're going to get that new $10 million, you know, $10 million, $10 billion factory. So because it takes so much time.
Streamline the approval process. Construction. That's right.
Right. So that right there says, okay, we're going to do this. And then this supports that. Mm-hmm. But both of them are lost leaders.
Yeah,
of course. Well, it's the sacrifice of long-term stability for the immediate short-term results gain of things that look good on paper.
Sure.
Which sounds a lot like somebody who deals a lot in short-term Wall Street gain.
Or
real estate.
Con jobs.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, here. Yeah, look, you made $100. Invest more.
Right. Right. Exactly. Hey, here's $1,000. If you put in another 1,000, you can get another 1,500.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I just made 1,000.
A pyramid scheme.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So
these numbers don't add up.
No, the numbers don't add up. And so now we know the three buckets were. The three of them were.
Oh boy. Okay. So the last one was economic.
Economic nationalism.
Right. Yep. Economic nationalism. We're going to hold people to this one. Anyway.
Yeah. We're going to get back to this for sure.
Yeah.
Number two was, number two is economic nationalism.
Right.
Number three was, the deconstruction
of the administrative state.
Of the administrative state. Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Well, no, what that means is instead we have the presidential executive order of enforcing the regulatory reform agenda.
Right.
Instead.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Remake it in his own image.
Exactly. So that everyone will report, so that a small group of people will report to the executive branch so that
directly.
The executive branch can then say, stop.
Well, basically,
or
we're removing
give that
judicial
contract
oversight.
To my buddy.
We're removing judicial oversight from the entire process.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. And then the first one?
Well, I closed it.
It was bad,
did
wasn't
we
it?
We get three?
We got two. So we've got deconstruction.
There was three branches that he discussed.
I know he mentioned three, but I don't know that we heard all three.
Yeah, the first one was.
Hang on. I'm bringing back his voice. I apologize. Eventually. YouTube.
Streaming.
Wilbur Ross at Commerce, Steve Mnuchin at Treasury, Lighthizer at Trade around the world. The third, broadly.
That's the third.
Rewind.
Rewind.
It's kind of national security and sovereignty, and that's your
national security and sovereignty.
Yep.
So the first one was him getting shot down for the immigration ban.
Right.
I'm sorry, it wasn't a ban, which he called a
hold.
Ban.
Yeah.
It wasn't about Islam, but it was.
The ban, the Islamic ban that wasn't a ban on Islam.
He just doesn't know what these words mean because, you know, they did have a military operation to get rid of illegal immigrants that wasn't a military operation.
You know, right now in New York City, last night, there were groups of police officers that were rounding up undocumented workers and illegals in quotes.
Illegals.
And people were taking to Facebook and saying, okay, well, on this street and this street, these goon squads are looking for people. And then it was going out via Twitter and it was going out via the entire social media network and texting.
Well, there's that classic, you know, I don't care how fast your motor is, you'll never outrun a Motorola.
Yep. You'll never outrun a radio, my friend. Yeah. Yep.
And now it's the other way around. Now the people are giving themselves a warning ahead of time to get away from this fascist state that we're so slowly sinking into.
And the current immigration ban is not legal.
Yeah.
So what these officers are doing in New York is not necessarily on the books.
Right.
They're saying,
well, beyond that, now we're having people who are traveling domestic on flights being detained at their destination.
Yes, papers, please.
By Customs and Border Patrol.
Right.
Right.
Papers, please.
You have no
Border Patrol. Right. Wait, Federal Border Patrol for what,
domestic
Arkansas?
Flights. Yeah.
Come on. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah, you fly from Detroit, you land in Birmingham, you get off your plane. And someone says, yeah, may I see your papers? And it's like, well, I just landed here. I need to see your papers or you're being detained.
Well, what's crazy, like, and it's not just travel. A friend of mine was stopped at a roadblock, just a random roadblock screening the other night. Why are you here tonight? I didn't realize I had to justify being in public.
Yeah.
Regardless of the time of night.
Right.
Why is that on me to justify that I can go out and live my life in a free way?
Well, that's what the state that this administration would like to have happen. They would like it to be absolutely controlled. If you are moving anywhere or doing anything, they want to make sure that they know where you are.
If you've ever seen V for Vendetta, you know where we're going.
remember the 5th of November.
No, that's a British holiday. Wait.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, one of our holidays got a lot of traction. We had President's Day on Monday. And a simple, why the fuck don't we have President's Day off? Why the fuck do we have President's Day off and not voting day? We had almost 5,000 people view that one
piece.
That
was amazing.
It took off.
Yeah.
It's the simple messages of things where people look at it and go, well, yeah, why not?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
It kind of makes
whatsoever.
You stop. And then that led to the inevitable discussion of the mildly justifiable conspiracy theory that there are efforts to make it more difficult to go vote.
Right.
Especially for those without means.
Right. Well, we could just move President's Day to the
Or we could move Election
Tuesday.
Day to President's Day.
That's yeah.
Either way.
Either way. But since President's Day was because Lincoln and Washington were kind of close to each other, so they split
this kind of split. Right.
But it's no longer anybody's birthday, so just move it.
Just change it. Yeah, exactly. The first Tuesday of November. It's fine. I'm just remembering last year, right around this time, there was a huge movement to make the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday a holiday because too many people were getting drunk and they couldn't deal with the hangover at work. But that had more traction than pushing for a holiday for Election Day.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
where the priorities.
Well, we've talked about this at length, that the reason why people do not want a national holiday for voting is that people would be able to go and vote.
Right. No, that's exactly.
Maybe if we had a major, maybe move the Daytona 500 to the Monday before voting day, then we can claim we need to take the day off.
You're right. Or, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could find a way to make it overlap with another holiday of some sort.
Right. And no, Cicely, it is not Diet Coke. I don't drink soda. So the answer would be it is beer.
It is an adult beverage.
Yeah, it's not a, yeah. All right, so
just a quick little fun note. We have, as I've mentioned in the past, and we'll continue to bring up because to me it is an incredibly pressing issue, far more so than the abundance of executive orders.
Right.
We have a Republican majority in both houses of Congress, and very recently a Republican in Congress pushed the House bill to terminate the Department of Education altogether. Oh.
But that sounds like a positive thing to me, Republican from Kentucky.
Well, the idea was, right, that you have the 10th Amendment, which guarantees the rights to the states, things which are not guaranteed to the Congress, including apparently education, but apparently not including federal regulation of recreational drug use.
Right.
So it's a sliding scale based on apparently however our president feels today.
But if I understand it, it's a carrot and a stick thing, right? I mean, the states are free not to take the federal money and do whatever they want.
That's always been the case, though. Colorado did that a long time ago with the drinking age.
So no, I mean in terms of education.
Oh,
right. So they're the Department of Education manages loans and funds and policy, and you're free not to take any of it. It's not like you have to do it.
Well, it's the
same thing with the drinking age.
Right.
To take the money for the roads as long as if you want people to be able to drink at 18.
Right.
You don't take the money for the roads.
Yep. And that's what Colorado did. They decided to do, well, that's fine. Our roads don't get used all that much anyway, so we'll just go ahead and do our own thing.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm a huge proponent of the 10th Amendment. I feel that in the last 60 years, 80 years, our federal government has far overreached its intended boundaries. And as a result, every new administration and new Congress continues to push those boundaries and find out just how far they can take it. And the states sit down and take it because if they do, they get more money.
Well, that's the way the game works, right? I mean, the states states didn't take Medicaid expansion, right? That's their choice.
Well, I mean, the state of Florida didn't take the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And so a lot of folks, but here's the funny part. The federal government, who was collecting the taxes about and the penalties, didn't make it very well known to a lot of people here in the state of Florida that we were not subject to the penalties because our state did not take the Affordable Care Act and we did not do the same things that other states did. But a lot of my good friends paid who were unable, who weren't working at the time, or were unable through their job to get the proper insurance under the Affordable Care Act. They then had to pay the penalty. And so I'm like, no, you don't have to pay it. Oh, no. QuickBooks or TurboTax. TurboTax says I have to pay this, so I have to pay it. I'm like, TurboTax doesn't realize that you're in the state of Florida.
Well, no, it does.
It does.
But my favorite thing, that's another topic altogether. It's honestly really funny because you can just go, yes, I have insurance. And they go, do you have a form for it? No, but I have insurance. Okay, you're good. And that's it. I literally filed my taxes like that a month and a half ago. And that was it.
I'm looking for my positive things this week.
Positive things. Oh, okay. So I wanna put this one out there. It's a bit of a positive. Guys, our efforts are working. They're taking notice and they're getting scared. NRA TV released an amazing promo actually earlier today during CPAC about becoming the counter resistance.
Right.
We have a voice. They're hearing us and they're scared. Please don't stop. Don't lose that hope.
They're hearing us.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're running. They know that they are on a house of cards and it can only last so long.
Yeah, it's getting interesting on how little, how absolute little, you know, when you start, whoops, that was me. I have everything turned off.
Strange. Is it your tablet?
I think it was your tablet and it's plugged in, so we heard it.
No, because I have the tablet turned all the way down. Oh, well, whatever. It just came out of it.
Gremlins.
Gremlins. But it is really, to me, it's really interesting because you see people like Marco Rubio.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, there's a positive. The survey.
Yeah, the survey.
We didn't really get into length about that.
Yeah.
Definitely take, please, if you have Facebook, go to the One Man Revolution podcast Facebook page. We've posted the link to both the media accountability survey.
Yeah, the media accountability survey. Yeah,
the mainstream media accountability survey. And then Marco Rubio's survey.
If you get a chance, you need to absolutely positively go through the media survey.
It's glorious.
It is glorious. Now, at the end, here's the funny part. At the end, there's an ask. They go, hey, you know, could you contribute to the president's campaign funds? And just say no. Heck, give a fake email address.
I give a fake name and email every time. Yeah. And it's like right. Michael Hunt. I'm not even like being subtle about this. My fake email is nomail@mail.com. No mail, you don't have to be kind about it. They don't care.
Right.
Mine would be Hugh G. Rection.
Yes. Perfect. That's excellent. Get clever. It could be Tiny Trump for all that matter. Yeah. It would be amazing.
Oh, or POTUS@whitehouse.com.
POTUS, there you go.
Whitehouse.gov, that's a good one.
No, whitehouse.com. That's a different website.
That's a totally different website.
But yeah, no, seriously, they're literally giving us a place to stand on a box and scream at them. And if we flood these websites with our actual opinions, the opinions of you and me, the real American people, they might actually have to stop and listen. Look at what happened with the town hall meetings this week. The vast majority of Republicans that had town hall meetings saw them overwhelmed with negative reactions by their own constituents.
Right. But there were paid people there.
Oh, I'm sure there were.
They're called the representatives in their.
No, it was liberal protesters that were organized to show up to these things.
Yeah,
this is my thing. My favorite one when they say things. Bad. Yeah, my favorite
is that
one.
Is that the tweet of the week?
Well, yeah, that's one of my favorite tweets this week. And actually,
I need to find this real quick.
Yeah, I have it right here.
From POTUS or from the.
It was probably from Donald Trump. I actually saved it on this device. One of us sent it.
Liberal organizers, or
yeah, we were. I was laughing so hard about this. Yeah. It's like there were paid liberal organizers. It's like wait.
I got it.
Oh,
here it is.
I just said
the so-called angry crowds in home districts of some Republicans are actually in numerous cases planned out by liberal activists.
Yeah,
sad.
That's called protest? Yeah.
That's called protest.
This is how this works.
That's how this works. And that kills me. That is from the account, the real Donald Trump. And my favorite part about this one is the number of tweets that were going across the top of my...
I saw those notifications. I'm like, you need to clear
my
that.
Notifications.
I just want to say it's been a month. We haven't let up. I'm so proud of everybody
for absolutely.
Not letting off the gas pedal. We have to keep this pressure up. We have to keep it going. Do not forget, a third of Congress is up for election in 2 years. That's we right. have to keep track of these things. You need to know who's in your district. You need to know who you're voting for and who you're voting against.
Right. So midterm elections are 89 weeks away. 40 weeks from now is when I think campaigns start.
Okay.
Because it's the beginning yeah. of 2018. Beginning of the year. Yep. Right. And so that's 15 weeks down, and there are 52 weeks a year. Yeah, so it's less than 40 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. So it's coming up, all right? We believe that we can make a difference. It's my favorite one. It's, I believe.
Have that hope.
That's yeah. No. Yeah, it's a, after, yeah. Repeat after me. I believe. I can make a difference.
I can make a difference.
See, and that's what we need to do. We need to do that every single time a group of people are to get together. We need to not lose hope. And that was something that we said a few weeks ago, is that we need to
keep reiterating that. That's a really important one. Right. There's a lot of people that are scared, that are worried, and you're absolutely right. You should be. But that is motivation. That's not paralyzing. That should be your the drive that gets you out of your house, that gets you out to the voting booths, that gets you out to local events, that gets you to these town hall meetings. Get your voice heard.
Absolutely.
And don't get fatigued either. You can get...
Oh, there's an overwhelming amount of information out there. And that's why we say pick one thing.
Pick your topic. Yeah, yep. Find that thing that matters to you. And when you go to these meetings, guess what? You're going to find dozens of other people that are willing to listen to you, that know other topics, and you can listen to them. And when you join together, you are a power to be reckoned with.
Yep.
So one of the things I did this week, and there's a new app. It's an app that is taking some traction, and it's called Bicot. Okay, it's available for iOS.
It sounds like a laxative.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does.
But what it is, it's I don't know if it's available for Android, but you might want to take a look.
I just Googled it.
Bicot.
Yep.
Okay, is it available for Android or is it just iOS?
I don't know. It says sign up with Facebook. Oh, okay. Vote with your wallet.
It's got a picture of an iPhone.
Oh, no, it's on Android.
Okay, so there you go. So it's available for both platforms. So if you have an Android phone or an iOS device, that's great. What it does is it allows you to sign up for, and I have it here in my hand, it allows you to sign up for different boycotts that are available. And one of the boycotts that I'm on, of course, is boycott Trump products.
That's a quote, so it counts.
That's a quote, so it counts. And a few of my other ones that I have is against child labor.
Ooh.
Okay, so we can take things like that. And what it has a scanner. So what you can do is you can take a...
Careful.
I know. I don't want to get a sponsorship here. You can take something here and you can look it up. And
it's round. It's got, those things are really hard to scan. Yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Well, it'll usually scan, but it's.
I just want to read. I'm looking at their website while the revolutionary plays around with this. We have quote boycott Trump products.
Right.
That was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, that's not nice.
Boycott income inequality. Pro GMO, pro right to know. Support the Accord on Fire and Building Safety in Bangladesh.
Yeah, there's a whole list of them.
Save and support bees. Yeah,
the campaigns. Sure. The campaigns go from animal welfare through.
Fair women, trade
for women's rights.
Ooh, the illusion of choice. I like that.
Yeah, so there's plenty of stuff you can do, and I've shown this to several people this week out and about around the university, and it's been really interesting because a simple candy bar, you scan the candy bar and it says this candy bar is acceptable except if you have a problem with. What was it? It has a warning about possible child labor from one of the people, of the groups that's there. And I just need something that has a barcode on it that would give me. Yeah.
Can you just try to flatten it.
I don't know. It's not working. Oh
man, we're making all sorts of noise here.
Drop. All right. So let me see if I can flatten this out. This shouldn't be a problem here. Hold on. No.
Try your target.
To your left there, over your shoulder.
Oh, it's got one. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Radio silence.
There we go.
Oh, it worked.
Okay, so these are... doesn't know what it is. That one's not a good one. All right. So what it does is it tells you, it basically gives you a list, and I wish it had a whole
thing.
So
it sounds like a great way to double check where your money's going. You are spending are going.
And what it'll do is it'll give you a family tree. It'll go back to different products. Excellent. It'll go back to the parent company and the parent company of the parent company and tell you exactly where your money's going.
Yep.
Okay. So this is a great application. And again, pick one thing.
Yeah, find the movement that is to you very important, and make sure that your dollars either support or don't support that issue.
If you pick 10 of them, we were sitting around playing with this. Eventually, it'll get so you can never buy anything.
Yeah, you just have to go live in a coven somewhere.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go live in a hole and grow all your own food and make your own clothes from furs and skins. Oh, wait, that's against animal rights.
Well, we can. Right, so if I mean, I feel like we're running a little long here.
No, we're there. We're at 65 minutes.
Oh,
we're
perfect.
Good.
Yeah. So I believe the fellow traveler had his own positive change effort he'd like to put out there.
So there is a. Plan out, and this sounds crazy, but people are getting together at midnight on every waning crescent moon to cast a spell at Donald Trump to get him out of office. And the spell is open source. It's whatever you want. But sure. They also give a list of things that maybe you should use to try to make your spell more powerful. And that's what I need to get.
Okay, so it Excellent. Has a list of things. So we're talking about Wiccans, wizards, warlocks.
Pagans.
D&D players.
Yeah, D&D players. There
WoW
you go.
Players.
Roll for initiative.
There you go.
All right, so we'll roll for initiative.
Oh, yeah, and if that's your if that's your particular faith tradition, make sure you bring your D20.
Always have a D20 on you.
But yeah, I really love this idea. I like the we already have so many other collective efforts. This is one that I think is kind of fun, creates a sense of community.
Of course.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, we'll put some music on the background. So yeah, so what that'll do is that'll definitely give us that. So between, I like to be very active about all this fun stuff.
I feel like I'm going to start making people on Facebook hate me at this point. I keep posting all of these incredible links to things, but I'm not doing your typical look what I ate this morning. I'm like, look at these horrible things happening in Washington right now.
But look at these horrible things and how we can make them change.
Right.
So some of the components that they suggest is an unflattering photo of Donald Trump. Small.
Reading.
A tower tarot card.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, that's good.
My favorite is a small candle.
A very small candle. Small orange candle. That's good. Oompa Loompa candle.
A piece of pyrite.
Oh, fool's gold.
Baby carrot.
Oh, baby carrot. That's a good talisman.
Black thread.
Yeah.
Matches are lighter. Feather.
A Cheeto.
Oh, Cheetos would be a good talisman.
Cheetos would be good.
Cheetos would be very good.
Yeah.
Crunchy or the regular ones?
It's got to be crunchy.
Because they're really gnarled.
Yeah, they're kind of all gnarly.
You take the items that you've chosen and put them in a circle around you as you do your spell. But it's at midnight tonight.
It's midnight tonight. That's right.
Yeah, midnight tonight.
So yeah, we're probably going to be outside around midnight tonight. We'll be sure to do our chants.
Right.
You should join in with us. Is there a hashtag or is there like
there's a Facebook page.
I mean, oh, excellent.
Okay, we'll include it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll throw those in the show notes too.
In the show notes.
But so many ways, and really the big one is just don't stop. Believe that we can make a difference, and we will make a difference.
And one man can make a difference, and you just got to get out there, and you just have to do it.
Just do it!
Every single day. You know, we got to make these things happen. So I think we'll close it out on that.
That's a good note. That's a good note to close on.
So so go and sit under the waning moon. Is that where we're at?
Waning moon. Yes.
Stand under the waning moon tonight and look up and say, I'm madder than hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, and hold up your Cheetos and your other talismans. So I'm the revolutionary.
I'm the comrade.
And I'm just a traveler.
And I'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.